Reminded me Philippines basic class February 25th.
There's a lacking not in the philosophy itself, but in the following of the philosophy. And you're saying that we find in other institutions, there seems like a better following.
Not really. You explained the other day about the purpose of the Buddha. I understand.
Right, right.
Because he came down to sort of correct the Brahmins who were shaking up the...
Right, so they could gradually come back to the Vedas with a clearer understanding about being nonviolent. But at the same time, your principle is right, that if people see better interchanges, interactions with the followers of a particular group, then sensitive people will want to be there, because everybody wants to go where there's love and affection. Like, for example, if you were supposed to be in the kitchen for kitchen duty, and then I'm the leader, and then I walk up to you because you weren't there, and I start screaming at you how irresponsible you are, you don't care about Krishna at all, you don't have any love for your guru, and meanwhile you've just been vomiting for the past hour, and that's why you weren't there, then it doesn't inspire you to want to continue working with me. So this is the kind of thing you mean, right? Rather than assuming the best of the person and say, oh, are you not feeling well? Can I get you something? And then the person automatically starts begging forgiveness. Oh, I felt so bad, I couldn't come to my duty. Oh, no problem, let's get somebody else. So like that.
I think it's something regular that it has to be practiced.
Practice.
Awareness.
An awareness.
A discipline that creates awareness for better relationships.
Excellent, very good. And also, I mentioned the other night at Ishwarpuri Prabhu's house, or Vasanti mentioned, that the class that I gave, which is about harmonious relationships, we have CDs of that. Vasanti made many, many CDs, so if you want to take one, just ask Vasanti and she'll freely give you. If you want a couple for friends also, she can give it to you. Is the tape starting?
Yeah, recordings.
Okay. So now we'll discuss principles of cleanliness. Yes, any?
Something about what I was saying. This is one thing about the problem that devotees experience, that we philosophize so much, but application is not so much an application.
Exactly.
There's no balance of philosophy and application. We just, philosophy becomes only a theory. The harmony we're talking about, experience that devotees are very fond of gossiping and creating issues that are not relevant or not true. That's like it's saying, is it true? Is it relevant?
True? Right.
Is it necessary? And these things are not practiced by devotees.
Very
basic, but if an outsider comes, you can see that, well, the other group, like the Buddhists, they're more like spiritual. Because they see these things as a decoration.
Even though they have no philosophy, the Buddhists, still they look more spiritual. And it's natural that people will see that, because spiritual means nice.
Yeah.
I think there is a philosophy, I think it's very, very basic. It's that middle path that don't go into extremes of, you know, the positive or the negative. So you can observe and be aware of, are you doing something right? Mm-hmm. I think it's that. The middle path is something really to investigate.
Right.
Because it can be used in a proper way.
Right.
Too much of sweets gives you diabetes, and too much of the dirty things gives you sicknesses.
Right.
Same.
So to apply that to this most exalted, complete philosophy. And actually, Prabhupada speaks so much about that, what you said, gossiping. He said that, you know the example of the fly and the bee? Suppose somebody has a sore, you know, a sore that's all pussy and everything. The flies congregate around the sore, and the bees congregate around honey-filled flowers. So a bee-like devotee, they like to talk about the good qualities of others, and especially the glorious qualities. Can you feed him or something?
Sleeping.
Okay. So the bee likes to glorify others, and especially the exalted qualities of the pure devotees in the scriptures, like Dhruva Maharaj, Prahlad Maharaj, Srila Haridas Thakur, and that's what they talk about. And in that way, they make advancement in Krishna consciousness. But we cannot say, actually, that we find that devotees gossip. That's a contradiction of terms. We can say that aspiring devotees gossip, or people who people gossip, but we can't say that devotees gossip, because devotees talk about Krishna. So if we want to be devotees, then we can't gossip. The term devotees, it's very interesting that you brought that up. The term devotees is like stretched out to its limit. So we can be aspiring devotees, we're trying to be devotees, but we still have problems of gossip and criticizing and things like that. Gurudev said even smoking isn't as bad as criticizing. Though smoking is bad, it's not as bad as criticizing and pointing the finger. As I mentioned the other night, King Parikit told the bull, who didn't even blame Kali in the dress of a king for beating its legs. The king told the bull that, oh, you who are in the form of a bull, you are certainly the personality of religion, because you know very well the principle that the destination that has been designed for the performer of irreligious acts is the same destination that the person who points the finger to the irreligious performer, they get the same destination, as we discussed, making a bridge to other qualities, to bad qualities, by putting our consciousness in it. If to help somebody, I suggest something, then I don't think about it afterwards. I don't think that they're bad. That's another thing. But if I gossip and joke and laugh and point the finger and think about another person's or my conception, it may not even be true, my conception of another person's fault, then that fault comes to me. So all these principles are in our philosophy, but then it has to be followed in order to attract people. So that's a very good point. Do you want to say anything else before we go on to the next subject on that? Because that's a very good point. So now, that's one principle of becoming a devotee. And then another principle is cleanliness. As we hear, cleanliness is godliness. Srila Prabhupada explains that cleanliness is one of the qualities of the mode of goodness. Of course, if I start thinking, I'm clean and that guy's not clean, then I lose the advancement that I'm in the middle of making by being clean. That pride is something that's against Krishna consciousness. Cleaning is for Krishna consciousness. Pride is against Krishna consciousness, criticism is against Krishna consciousness, and therefore I'm getting my points. I'm getting my points and my demotions, and that's all adding up together. So if I'm wondering why, I'm clean, I go to Mangal Arati, I'm chanting every day, but I'm not advancing, that means the philosophy couldn't be working. It means that I'm also doing things for demotion at the same time, and that's all adding up. And all my decisions are based on whatever good and bad things, pious and impious things I did previously up to that moment where I have to make any decision. For example, Gurudev gave this example that the wife tells the husband who wants to start doing bhakti and bhajan, if you do bhajan and bhakti and not, you know, come to parties with us anymore, not drink with any, drink, you know, liquor with us anymore, then I'm going to be so sad that I'm going to give poison to our children, and then I'm going to give poison to ourselves, because there's no point in living. So then that husband has to think, is she telling the truth? And even if she is telling the truth, will Krishna change her mind if I come to bhakti? Or will they really kill themselves and then I'll have a sinful reaction? All these thoughts are going on in the mind of that husband. So his decision will be based on the accumulation of spiritual activities that he did and material activities, or pious and sinful activities that he did. All those come to make his decision. So we want to have good decisions that will always be beneficial for us. And then Srila Gurudev and Srila Prabhupada are encouraging us to understand what determines our decisions, and how, just like our past determines our present, and our present activities and mindset determines our future. So cleanliness is next to godliness. A few things about cleaning. Prabhupada said because it's in goodness, and one can only come to transcendence from goodness, not from passion, not from ignorance, but from goodness. And therefore Prabhupada said, I've asked my students to become good. So one good thing is cleanliness. Prabhupada said, when I was in college, I means Prabhupada, when I was in college, the cleaners cleaned the benches so nicely that one actually likes to sit down on the bench. It gives a soothing feeling when there's cleanliness. Prabhupada said the outside of the pot should be as clean as the inside of the pot for cooking for the Lord. Of course, if one is not cooking for the Lord, it doesn't matter what the pot is like. Even if the pot is completely spotless, like glass, still, Krishna says that anyone who first offers their food in sacrifice to me, I relieve him of all sinful reactions. And those who prepare and eat foodstuffs just for sense gratification, not offering it to me first, he's verily eating only sin, whether his pot is clean or not clean. So for devotees, those who are preparing foods for the Supreme Lord, the pot outside should be the pot like the pot inside, and both should be spotless. Prabhupada said if there's one spot, it's not clean. Again, not that we criticize others, but in our own life, we should be exemplary for that. Now I'll be reading. Oh, and for eating, for honoring prasadam. I know that some of you already know this and some don't, so those who already know, bear with me. And also this is being taped for new people who are coming. We only honor prasadam with our right hand, because with our left hand we do things like cleaning ourselves after going to the bathroom. And also, if we've touched the plate with our left hand, just like for me, because it's better for my digestion if I don't bend down while I'm honoring prasadam, so I take like that, so then my left hand also touched the plate. And therefore, both hands should be washed before touching anything else. Let's say somebody telephones. First of all, when I'm in the middle of prasadam, even if someone telephones, I'm actually worshipping the deity, because prasadam is non-different from Krishna. So Prabhupada explained that when you're honoring prasadam, you're worshipping the deity. And of course, while worshipping the deity, we don't speak anything to anybody except, can you find the ghee lamp or something like that. But of course, we can speak Harikatha with anybody while we're honoring prasadam. But if anybody wants to talk to us about anything mundane, or if the phone rings, we are not obliged to respond, because after all, we're worshipping the deities. So then after we finish, we should always wash our hands and the place where we took prasadam, so that nobody else will come along later and step on the prasadam by accident, not knowing that the prasadam is there. Because again, the prasadam is Krishna, so if anybody steps on that, that's an aparad to the prasadam. We observe all these cleanliness rules for prasadam, but if Sukadeva Goswami would get some prasadam, he would, Gurudev said, he would wipe it all over his body and his head. Why? Because he's realized that it's Krishna. But for we who don't realize, we have to follow the principles of Vaidhi Bhakti and wash our hands before touching anything after taking prasadam. Also, shoes. Whenever we do any spiritual activity, you know, we don't wear shoes, like worshipping the deity or taking prasadam. So also, when we bow down and offer obeisances to other Vaishnavas, we first take off our shoes. And in, I think it was New Zealand, on a morning walk, somebody asked Gurudev, why do we have to take off their shoes, our shoes, before offering obeisances? So Gurudev said, you don't know? And the devotee said, no, I don't know, that's why I'm asking. So Gurudev said, do you worship the deity with shoes? No. Do you honor prasadam with shoes? No. So why should you offer your obeisances to Guru and Vaishnava with shoes? It's another sacred activity. He said, if you keep your shoes on, then Bhakti Devi, the personification of devotional service, she will go away. She will leave you. And when I heard that, I can understand another reason why, even though I've been practicing for 41 years, my advancement is pretty shaky, because I kept my shoes on for so many years. These little things make a difference. So we can tell others, but in a very polite and sweet way. Not that, look, you have your shoes on. Oh, you're so full. Even when we drink water, if we touch the glass of the water to our mouth, even then we're supposed to wash our hands. Just like right now, because it's too hard for me to go like that for the whole glass of not touching. So then after I drank the glass of water, then I did achman to clean my hands off. So now we'll read some things from the Archana Deepika book. Deepika means the lamp, and Archana means worship of the deity. So this is the guiding lamp to illuminate how to worship the Lord. And that starts from the time we get up in the morning. So as soon as we get up in the morning, it's stated here, and Srila Gurudev also explains, that even before getting out of bed, just as soon as I realize that I'm alive, you know what I mean? Like there you are, you're sleeping, and then you're thinking of something, but You're not even conscious that you're thinking of it. You know what I mean? So as soon as you realize that it's me and I exist today, at that second, then we start offering obeisances to our Guru Parampara, to our Thakurji, Sri Sri Radha Vinod Bihari, Sri Sri Radha Govinda, Sri Guru Gauranga, Gandharvika Girihari, and then we start going up the disciplic succession, offering obeisances, which is very easy to do when we have the Jayadwani prayers. We offer obeisance to our Gurudev, same as the pictures, our Shiksha Guru, our Param Guru, Parampara Guru, and that is an appeal to them to protect us from illusion, from making the wrong decisions during the day, from being affected by materialistic persons, by being affected by temptations of the world. I immediately start offering my obeisances and prayers, and if I can remember any songs. And then, before bathing, I pass stool and urine before bathing, and then brush my teeth before bathing, because the body gets unclean again, because the mouth is an unclean place. So the uncleanness from the mouth gets splashed to other parts. So then we take bath after. And we also, it says here in the Archana Deepika book, that one also splashes water on his eyes. And the Ayurvedic, just for your information, the Ayurvedic way to do that is you go like that, and at the same time, from the tap water, you throw that on your eyes. And it immediately refreshes, even if you're like totally out of it. As soon as you do that, you feel, oh, alive again. So all that, and then bathing. And then in the course of the day, if I pass stool and urine, then best to take a shower, a bath, especially, without question, if I have to worship the deity, or cook for the deity, and then make an offering. But if I can't do that, then at least cleaning myself with water, rather than just toilet paper. We think that toilet paper is advanced civilization. But it's like if there was some stool on the floor and you just take a piece of paper towel and try and clean it up. Does that really clean it? No. So minimum water, if not water and soap, and best bathing. But always water. The highest thing is one should take bath. Obligatory, totally obligatory if I'm worshipping the deity or cooking for the deity and then making an offering. And even if I don't have a deity, if I offer to picture, even if I have no installed deity, it's still cooking and offering is an activity of archan. But if I can't take bath for some reason, then I should clean myself with water and soap. If I can't do that, rock bottom minimum, I should clean myself with water and try to avoid having my clothing touch anything. Best if I can take off the clothing and then put on fresh clothes, put on the clothing after, like by putting on a gumsha. But if that's not possible, like suppose I'm out, or suppose for some reason I can't, then at least try to make the clothing not touch any of the toilet seat or anything like that. I usually don't talk in this way. I don't know why I am today. I don't usually talk about toilets. But at some point, we have to hear these things. So we should try and keep the clothes clean. But better than that is taking off the outer garments and then passing and then putting on the outer garments again. So it depends on what standard I want to be, how clean I want to be, how Pure, I want to be like that. And when Prabhupada was installing the deities in Los Angeles in 1968, he said that because there was a fire sacrifice for installing the deities, and perhaps there was initiations then too. He said, there are so many living entities who live in the fire, and they're living very comfortably in the fire, because their bodies are also made of fire. But we, who are sitting next to the fire, because our bodies are not made of fire, we're feeling discomfort. So similarly, Krishna is pure. So if we want to be able to live with Krishna, we have to be pure. And if we're not pure, then we feel discomfort. We feel discomfort because we're not really connected with Krishna consciousness. Therefore, we'll feel material discomfort. Then, Prabhupada explains that after we've taken a bath, we're not really clean until we've performed achman. Achman is what those who were initiated yesterday, you all did. And achman means that, another achman card. Achman means that right after bathing, by the way, just as an FYI, you know what FYI means? You have that here too in the Philippines? So it's very easy to shine arti paraphernalia with earth. You just, because it's so lush here in Manila, you just go to some earth that's not stepped on by people, like a little bit off in the garden, and you go like that, a little bit underneath, underneath the ground, so it's very clean earth. And then you just take that earth and mix it with water. In fact, you can just take from the achman, put some water there, and go like that with the earth, and it becomes shiny in 3 minutes, just like new. That's very nice. So achman, after bathing, first I, with my right hand, take the water. If anybody knows more than me and wants to correct me, please do. Like that, once. That purifies that hand, that purifies the other hand. But this is not ordinary water. Although water itself is purifying, wind is also purifying. But we call in some sacred rivers. In the Archanadipika book, there's a mantra that we call in the sacred rivers. Gange cha Jamune chaiva Godavari Sarasvati Narmadi Sindhukavari Jalesmin Sanivim Kuru. So I'm calling in the Ganges, the Jamuna, the Godavari. There are five principal sacred rivers in India. It's the Saraswati River, Narmadi River. So then I purify that hand and that hand, and then I put 3 drops of water and zip it and say Om Keshavaya Namaha, and then I, you know, wash that. Then again, 3 drops of water, Om Narayanaya Namaha, and then like that, and again, 3 drops of water, Om Madhavaya Namaha, and then clean it, Om Govindaya Namaha, and then Om Vishnave Namaha. And then I'm almost clean. The shower is the first thing, then achman. And when I say achman, when I do the achman, I think it's before doing achman, we pray, Om Apavitra Pavitra Va Sarvavastangatopi Va Jasmare Pundarikyakyam Sabayam Abhyantaram Suchi. Whether one is clean, Suppose I've been in an airplane all night. How am I going to take bath? But I want to say Achman. So I need to clean myself. So I chant this mantra, whether I've taken bath or not taken bath. Om Apavitra means whether one is not clean. Pavitrava, or clean. Sarvavastan, in any place, inside or outside. If one remembers the lotus-eyed Lord, Pundarikyakyam, the lotus-eyed Lord Krishna, then I become purified. Then I'm clean. Srila Bhakti Prakhan Keshav Goswami Maharaj, our Param Gurudev. Gurudev said that sometimes he wouldn't bathe for a month, and he had no need to because he was always clean. And then, when the month was over and he bathed, he would take the water and throw it over his shoulders as his bath. We can't imitate that. We need to bathe daily. But just to show the efficacy of sincerely doing Achman. And then, so now I'm mostly clean, but then I put on tilak every day. And then this completes the cleanliness. If I have to go to work, then I can put this top tilak on with water. But all the other tilaks should be with the Gopi Chandan. And if anybody doesn't have Gopi Chandan, we have some extra. So you can let Vasanti know or Gaurangi know. And actually, whenever you're preaching or sharing with new people, because I know all of you live in different places, and so you meet different groups of different people, you can teach them some of these things. Like, you don't have to teach them all the strict rules and regulations, but you can start them on, if they feel like putting on tilak and saying the mantras, you can tell them that this protects you from the contamination of passion and ignorance and disturbance, anxiety, fear. It's true, because it gradually connects us with Krishna. So we remember the different the qualities of the names of Krishna that we're saying. Like Om Keshavaya Namaha means I'm offering myself to Keshava. Keshava means Krishna who has fine hair, or Kesh means hair. So, and Aya means unto Keshava. Om Keshavaya Aya Namaha. Namaha. I offer myself, or Swaha. I offer myself to Sri Keshava, who has fine hair and who decorates the kesh, or the hair, of Srimati Radhika. May they give me protection from Maya and help me remember them all the time and serve them and serve my Gurudev. Or Narayanaya. Narayan and then Aya. And you can put it on your little baby, Shivananda, too, every day to protect him. And Narayan means one who resides in the water. He lies down in the causal ocean, in the ocean of milk, in the Garbhodak ocean. And in that way, performs his activities of creation and maintenance and destruction. Or, in a more rustic way, Narayan means Krishna who's lying down in the ocean of love. And he invites Srimati Radhika to engage in sportive amorous pastimes with that Narayan, serve that Narayan. So clothing should be clean. everyday clean clothing. And when we're in the kitchen, when we're doing some service in the kitchen for cooking for the Lord, I asked Prabhupada once, somebody asked me to ask him, suppose our hands touch our clothing while we're in the kitchen cooking for Krishna, then do I have to wash my hands again before touching any of the utensils? So Prabhupada replied, if your clothing is clean, then no. And if your clothing is not clean, you shouldn't even be in the kitchen. Then he said, there's so many rules and regulations, if I told you all of them now, you'd faint. So in the meantime, as you're gradually learning them, you can make up the balance by chanting Hare Krishna. So whenever anything falls on the floor while we're cooking for the deities, and again, if you don't have deities in your house and you just have a picture, that's good, because if you act with them like they're really there, then they'll act with you like they're really there. When Prabhupada was installing the deities in Los Angeles, he said, if you act with a deity like this is a stone idol, then he'll remain stone idol to you forever. And if you act with him that, oh, there is Krishna, I must serve him nicely, I must be respectful, honorable, I must not even think anything wrong, he said, then this Krishna will talk to you. And he told the story of Sri Sanatana Goswami. You all know the story of Sanatana Goswami and his deity? Ishwar Puripuru? You know that story, Ishwar Puripuru? He's tired. Oh, I'm sorry. Jai Sachi, I'm sorry. I meant Jai Sachi. So, you know the story? Sanatana Goswami and Madan Mohan? I think all of you initiated devotees should practice giving classes in places.
About the businessman is...
About what?
One businessman is doing selling the salt.
Right.
Because the deity is requesting to...
Yeah, he was so poor. He was so poor that he couldn't even offer salt or butter on his chapatis. So, but because he really saw the deity as Krishna, and he loved him, so that deity began to talk with Sanatana Goswami and said, what? You're not even offering me salt or butter? It's going to give me a sore throat if I have to chew that. So Sanatana Goswami said, I'm sorry, that's all I have, you'll have to take it. And Madan Mohan accepted that dried up chapati because it was offered with love. Good, thank you. So Prabhupada said, if you think this is a stone idol or just a picture, two-dimensional picture, then it will remain picture. But if you think, oh, there's Krishna, then that one day that Krishna will speak with you. Now, sometimes devotees bow down to each other and touch each other's feet, which is very nice. But then I should wash my hands after touching the person's feet. Even if that person is my senior, if he's not a pure devotee, then I should wash my hands after touching his feet, because then I'll forget about it, and then I'll touch the deity, and I'll touch the cooking pot and the cooking spoon, and that will be an aparad. So I wash my hands. But if I'm touching the feet of somebody like Gurudev, which I hope you'll all be able to get to do in 6 weeks. Then you could just put that on your head and put it on everybody else's head, no problem. Because the pure devotee's feet, the pure devotee's head, everything about the pure devotee is completely pure. Because just like Krishna, is there anything impure about Krishna's feet, lotus feet? Same thing with the pure devotee. Because Krishna is divided into two, not divided, but there's two Krishnas. There's Krishna God, the served God, and Krishna the servitor God. So Guru is also a manifestation of Krishna. He's not a human being. Also, do any of you initiated devotees not have Tulsi Devi in your house? If you could raise your hands. Not. So, if everybody can have Tulsi, you can see Ishwar Puri Prabhu or Yadanath Prabhu and Gaurangi, huh?
Jai Sachi.
Jai Sachi has? You have extra, I mean?
I have a lot of Tulsi.
A lot.
They just bring a small pot.
And then, if you have Tulsi Devi in your house, then by watering her every day, just like, there's nowhere in the world that they do what we do. Well, some places, because we started it there, is that after the pujari offers the lamp and the incense and the flowers, then we pass it around. They don't do that in the Gaudiya Mutts. The reason that wherever I go, I ask them to do that, is because Gurudev said everybody should offer a lamp to Tulsi every day. So if we all do that together, then it's done. Otherwise, we may not do it. So that's why we do it. Yes?
Is it a must for us to have a Tulsi?
Why?
Like, do we have to?
Why are you asking that question?
Because actually we want to have Tulsi in our house, but we're afraid to take care of it because we know that it's
of okay. Her.
Yeah, of
her.
Her. Okay, Tulsi. And because we might
commit an offense?
Yeah.
Okay. So your husband doesn't do that job anymore, right?
Did he?
He still does it?
Yes, sir.
Then you shouldn't have Tulsi in your house. And you shouldn't even wear Tulsi beads. It's that bad. If in ignorance somebody does that kind of a job, that's one thing. But if after being encouraged by many devotees who are offering help to get a different kind of job, you think that you're saving your baby by that kind of job, but really you're killing your baby by that kind of job. Because you're encouraging your husband to do that kind of job to save your baby. It's like participating in killing your mother to save your baby. Does that make sense? No. It doesn't make sense. So the baby is in that kind of atmosphere where the parents are participating in killing the baby's mother. Just like the mother gives the milk, right? And then if in gratitude, so-called gratitude to my mother, I slice my mother's throat, do I think that God will be pleased with that? Or if I say to my father that this brother of ours, he's really ignorant and foolish, why don't we just cut him up, cook him? Would the father be pleased? Even if your brother is mentally retarded, still your father loves him. So do you think he'll be pleased with you? So similarly, the cow is our mother. And if we participate, there are eight people who participate in the conspiracy of killing. The person who hires the killer, the person who loots the killer, they're all different accomplices to the murder. And in any law court of law, the other people will also go to prison. Isn't it true?
Yeah.
Do you ask Pitambara? So similarly, for the killing of an animal, killing and eating of an animal, if the person who raises the animal, the person who sends the animal to the slaughterhouse, the person who slaughters the animal, the person who sells the animal, the person who cooks the animal, and the person who eats the animal. So even if there's not eating, if there's cooking, it's one of the accomplices in the murder. And it states in the Bhagavatam that to kill a cow is tantamount to slaughtering a child in a lonely place. So will Krishna be pleased with that? And will Krishna bless you with a very happy home life? No. Your husband may have an accident as a reaction. And then who's going to take care of the baby and maintain the baby? Huh? You? Are you satisfied that your husband's going to have an accident and then you'll be able to take care of the baby yourself? Then don't give any reason for him to have an accident. Because he has to have an accident. He's going to have an accident. So these are just things to think about. Everyone will love you no matter what you do. But for the benefit of you three, this advice is there. And you have so many devotees who can help get a better kind of job. If I say to somebody, if somebody's paying me to kill a bunch of women who are mothers, and then I say, I'm sorry, I'm not going to kill any more mothers. And then the person says, well, keep killing them until I get a replacement for you. Okay, I'll do that. Is that very wise? No. It's the same thing. Therefore, if you stop immediately, then Gurudev can adjust the karmas. But if you keep going on, even after hearing so many instructions, it's going to be an accident. Okay. But everybody will love you anyway. Don't think anybody's rejecting you. But just for your benefit. Okay. So, back to Tulsi. It's very beneficial to have Tulsi. Yes.
About some devotee you live.
I'm sorry?
Some householder devotee has no own house. He's only mixing the family, foreign family.
Mm.
So they can worship Tulsi Devi.
So the question is, if somebody's living in his family's house and the family's not following the principles of Krishna consciousness, is it okay for the devotee to have Tulsi? It's certainly okay as long as he's not participating in the immoral and sinful activities of the family. Does that answer the question?
What about because when I first doing chanting, and I'm always planting a tulasi plant in my around my house. So my mother is not a vegetarian. She's always cooking the different animal, but sometimes sharing the water to many plant, tulsi plant.
Does she know that tulsi is sacred?
I don't know.
Can you tell her?
I'm not telling, but I because they don't understand. I know because he's a Catholic.
She wouldn't understand. As long as you're. As long as you are doing the right thing, then she'll get Sukriti's from watering Tulsi. You know Sukriti?
Yeah, pious people.
She'll get pious merits from watering Tulsi. So it's okay.
Sometimes you water the plant with dirty water. Dirty, like they have this contaminated water from the pots.
Oh.
They water the plants.
Oh, I see what you mean, yeah. From the meat pots.
Maybe some of
incident.
Then if you could protect Tulsi, that's much better. If you could keep Tulsi in your room and that's not allowed to happen. Because you're in charge of Tulsi. So that means you're responsible that she gets worshipped properly.
I learned in Philippines that Tulsi actually belongs to the family of Basil. Basil. So sometimes the Chinese they use Tulsi leaves in cooking meat.
Mm.
It's an spice.
Mm.
Yeah, they use it as a spice. So.
That's why we have to preach and distribute books. Do a lot of Harinam, a lot of book distribution. If somehow or other you have books but you don't know the price, just tell people to give a donation. Don't say, I can't give you the book because I don't know the price. So whatever you can give is fine. So is that so far what we discussed, is that all clear with everybody? So now, talking about anything else about cleanliness that you want me to bring up? If you think of it, just you can interrupt. Then regarding, since the word books were brought up in preaching.
For men, peacefully they pass urine, they hold their genital, they should wash their hands after passing urine.
Essential, imperative, with soap. So now for preaching. So we're hearing about all the abominable activities of the people, that they're, on top of cooking meat, they're cooking meat with tulsi in it. And that means that they have to become meat for many, many births. Even if he doesn't have an accident in this life, he has to take a reaction of the same thing happening to him. As you sow, so shall you reap. If you cook meat, you'll be cooked yourself in a future life. Do you believe that?
But if he's not working, like he's still working, and that farming restaurant, but he's only doing washing dishes.
That's a lot better.
Okay.
A lot better. Okay, so where are we? Right. So all these people have a very, very bad future. And it's not that we don't have anything to do with them, because we learn from our acharyas that they're all our brothers and sisters. Just like if your brother and sister is in some danger, then we immediately want to do something. If your next door neighbor house is burning up on fire, then even if you don't know their language, suppose they speak a different language like Chinese, you don't know Chinese, but their house is burning up, immediately you'll start screaming something and pointing to the fire and getting water. So even if we're not expert preachers, it doesn't matter. Just we can speak up to our level of understanding and give out Gurudev's books and Prabhupada's books, and gradually that will give them pious credits to become free from their sinful activities, which are sending them down to lower species of life. If sometime in class, Yadonath Prabhu, you'd like to read from the third canto and the fifth canto about the various hellish planets, then we can see where our brothers and sisters are off to if we don't help them. So therefore we're making a humble request that wherever any of you who are initiated devotees, wherever you go, if you could bring 10 books with you. Could be small books, medium books, big books, anything. Always have 10 books with you, and then distribute them to people during the week, then come back the next week, get 10 more books. Yeah, these are some of the pictures. Yeah, we can read about it, actually. Even if somebody can't give a donation, but you see that they're really sincere and want the book, then, yikes. Oh my goodness. And this is real, too. Can you all come up for a minute and just look at this, and then you can go back to your seats? Or we'll pass it around. We'll pass this around, and then when it comes back to me, I'll read it. Do you think that's a good idea, Yananas Prabhu? That I didn't want to jump over your head and say something that's not approved by you. Is it okay if everybody takes 10 books a week? Like, you have your program on Sunday, and then they take 10 books, and they bring back the donation money, and then they take more books?
Yeah.
I think 10 books is a good number, or is another number better?
Well, yeah, depends on them.
Yeah.
If you can distribute them, that's all right. But they should cover the cost.
And you'll type up, you'll print out something?
Yeah.
For the cost? Okay.
100 pages. You can also look at the other pages. You want more pictures.
Pictures.
And also, is it possible to print up, you know how you have those little flyers for the spiritual convention?
Mm-hmm.
So what if you print up flyers just for your temple in general for every Sunday night? Because you have programs every Sunday, right?
Yeah.
And does Isha Puri Prabhu have programs every week?
Mm-hmm.
Not now?
Not yet.
Not yet.
He's still waiting for his father to leave this.
He can't until then. Okay. So what about printing up flyers about coming to your Sunday program?
Yeah.
You know, like the Sunday Love Feast. You could even call it a Sunday Love Feast. Yes.
Do you think of posting some flyers on the studio?
On the what?
A good idea. Posting some flyers on the street.
What do you think?
Oh, he's saying like on the street you see the posts.
Yeah,
they say,
yeah.
Like,
well, I think it's a great idea.
Lipat bahay means. Or take a loan.
Yeah,
call this number.
Something like that. But
get liberated. Call this number.
But instead of that, we post the Sunday program.
I think it's a great idea. Do you?
Like
it can be done.
Would you like to post you and Shivananda? Just take the stroller and Shivananda and go around and post. If he prints them up.
And then you can see Sunday program dedicated to one.
Bye.
And you all live in different. You all live in different areas.
Pwede siguro bibigay mo na lang kasi ayaw na ng mga
pinatapon na
rin.
But the government is
not allowed?
It is illegal.
Oh, it's illegal. Oh, then not. That was the question.
Maybe it's on.
You can do
it in any areas. Or if you can go into stores and ask stores if they could put it up in their window.
Or in jeepneys.
What's that?
Jeepneys.
The public.
The buses?
Yeah,
that'll be great.
There are some areas where you can put your allowed.
Okay.
In some areas they're not allowed.
Okay, so if Yadana Prabhu could print it, then if all of you could pass them out, like the small ones, to pass out to people that you meet, and Indupati would have it on his telephone table and book table, and then maybe many more people will come and you could cultivate them. So, wow, it's 9:30 already. Oh, I'll read just a couple of hellish planets before we go. Have you all ever read this before? These hellish planets? Not read. Okay, we'll read a few hellish planets before the end of the class.
She's young.
Huh?
She's shocked.
She, are you shocked?
You know, I think we need to know.
Take a picture of her. Shocked. It's shocking.
Yeah.
But yet it's true. It's really true. It's not a fairy tale philosophy. Okay. So I'm going to read some now. What page are we? 909.
Actually, the Buddhist thing, they have this is very, they have more pictures in the Buddhist. One is like embracing a tree with thorns, and you're forced by the Yamadutas to climb on the tree.
Yeah.
Then you are walking in a sand that is like burning.
See, oh my God!
In Buddhist temples.
Oh my God! Look at this one. For the maintenance of their bodies and their families' bodies and the satisfaction of their tongues, cruel persons cook poor animals and birds alive. Such persons are condemned even by man-eaters. In their next life, they are carried by the Yamadutas to the hell known as Kumbhipaka, where they are cooked in boiling oil. Okay, so this is Sukadeva Goswami speaking to Maharaj Parikshit. O King, a person who appropriates another's legitimate wife, children, or money is arrested at the time of death by the fierce Yamadutas, who bind him with the rope of time and forcibly throw him into the hellish planet known as Tamisra. On this very dark planet, the sinful man is chastised by the Yamadutas, who beat and rebuke him. He is starved, and he is given no water to drink. Thus, the angry assistants of Yamaraj cause him severe suffering, and sometimes he faints. The destination of a person who slyly cheats another man, like Ed was speaking about cheating, and enjoys his wife and children, it's not good English, forget that one. Punishment in the hell called Maharaurava is compulsory for a person who maintains his own body by hurting others. In this hell, rural animals known as Kravyata torment him and eat his flesh. I'll read this one again. For the maintenance of their bodies and families and the satisfaction of their tongues, cruel persons cook poor animals and birds alive. Such persons are condemned even by man-eaters. In their next lives, they are carried by the Yamadutas to the hell known as Kumbhipaka, where they are cooked in boiling oil. The killer of a brahmana is put into the hell known as Kala Sutra, which has a circumference of 80,000 miles and which is made entirely of copper. Heated from below by fire and from above by scorching sun, the copper surface of this planet is extremely hot. Thus, the murderer of a brahmana suffers from being burnt both internally and externally. Internally, he's burning with hunger and thirst, and externally, from the scorching heat of the sun and the fire beneath the copper surface. Therefore, he sometimes lies down, sometimes sits, sometimes stands up, and sometimes runs here and there. He must suffer in this way for as many thousands of years as there are hairs on the body of an animal. You know that that restaurant called Kentucky Fried Chicken? So Prabhupada said as many hairs on the body of the chicken or the cow, that's how many lives the person has to be a chicken or a cow and be cooked and eaten. If a person deviates from the path of the Vedas. In the absence of an emergency, the servants of Yamaraj put him into the hell called Asipacharvan, where they beat him with whips. When he runs hither and thither, fleeing from the extreme pain, on all sides he runs into palm trees with leaves like sharpened swords, same thing as the Buddhist. Thus injured all over his body and fainting at every step, he cries out, "Oh, what shall I do now? How shall I be saved?" This is how one suffers who deviates from the accepted religious principles. In his next life, a sinful king or governmental representative. Oh, wait a minute. Washing pots with meat in it? I just realized he's not washing ordinary pots. The pots are full of meat, and he's helping the meat pots. I think he needs another job in another place.
I told him,
this is not fairy tale. What?
I told him to apply to this Buddhist vegetarian restaurant.
Hey, that's a good idea.
Yadinath will help us.
Huh?
Yadinath Prabhu will help us.
Yeah.
Yes, great. All the devotees will help you, but the Yamadutas will not help you. They'll help you in a different way. In his next life, a sinful king or governmental representative who punishes an innocent person or who inflicts corporal punishment upon a brahmana is taken by the Yamadutas to the hell named Sukaramuka, where the most powerful assistants of Yamaraj crush him exactly as one crushes sugar cane to squeeze out the juice. Here's a good one. By the arrangement of the Supreme Lord, low-grade living beings like bugs and mosquitoes suck the blood of human beings and other animals. No problem, they don't know what they're doing. Such insignificant creatures are unaware that their bites are painful for the human being. However, first-class human beings like brahmanas, kshatriyas, and vaishyas are developed in consciousness, and therefore they know how painful it is to be killed. A human being endowed with knowledge certainly commits sin if he kills or torments insignificant creatures who have no discrimination. If a mosquito comes or a fly comes and you go like that and kill it, or if you put powder or spray and kill all the insects in your house, here's what happens. Ta-da! Okay. A human being endowed with knowledge certainly commits sin if he kills or torments insignificant creatures who have no discrimination. The Supreme Lord punishes such a man or woman by putting him into the hell called Andakupa, where he is attacked by all the birds and beasts, reptiles, mosquitoes, lice, worms, flies, and any other creatures he has tormented during his life. They attack him from all sides, robbing him of the pleasure of sleep. Unable to rest, he constantly wanders about in the darkness. Thus he has to suffer just like the creatures that he kills.
What's the plan?
What's the name? Andakupa. A person is considered no better than a crow if after receiving some food, he does not divide it among guests, old men, children, but simply eats it himself. Or if he eats it without performing the five kinds of sacrifice. So anybody who doesn't offer food to Krishna in the proper way, if you don't know the proper way, you can ask Yadanath Prabhu or other senior devotees. And or he doesn't distribute prasadam. After his death, he gets put into the most abominable hell known as Creamy Bojana. In that hell is a lake that's 800,000 miles wide and filled with worms. He becomes a worm in that lake and feeds on the other worms there, and all the other worms also feed on him. Unless he atones for his actions before his death, such a sinful person remains in the hellish lake of Krini Bhojana for as many years as there are miles in the width of the lake. 800,000 years. A person who, in the absence of an emergency, robs a brahmana, or indeed anybody, of his gems and gold, is put in the hell called Sandamsa. There his skin is torn and separated by red-hot iron balls and tongs. Anybody who does what? Who steals. His skin is torn and separated by red-hot iron balls. We've got to become Krishna conscious. Phew. In this way, his entire body is cut to pieces. A man or woman who indulges in sexual intercourse with an unworthy member of the opposite sex is punished by death by the assistance of Yamaraj in a hell called Tapta Sormi. There, such men and women are beaten with whips. The man is forced to embrace a hot iron form of a woman, and the woman is forced to embrace a similar form of a man. Such a punishment for illicit sex. A person who is born in a responsible family, such as a Kshatriya, a member of a royalty or a government servant, but who neglects or to execute his prescribed duties according to religious principles, and who thus becomes degraded, falls down at the time of death into the river of hell known as Vaitarani. This river, which is a moat surrounding hell, is full of ferocious aquatic animals. When a sinful man is thrown into this river, the aquatic animals there immediately begin to eat him. But because of his extremely sinful life, he does not leave his body. He constantly remembers his sinful activities and suffers terribly in that river, which is full of stool, urine, pus, blood, hair, nails, bones, marrow, flesh, and fat. And it goes on and on. Then if someone is a brahmana or any other higher class, if he takes his pet dogs or mules or asses into the forest to hunt and kill animals, then he's placed after death into the hell called Pranaroda. There the Yamadutas make him their targets and pierce him with arrows.
But the people are addicted to alcohol?
I know there's a thing for alcohol. Let's see. A brahmana or a brahmana's wife who drinks liquor is taken by the agents of Yamaraj to the hell known as Ayapana. This hell also awaits any Kshatriya, Vaishya, or person under a vow who, in illusion, drinks Somaras. In that hellish planet, the Yamaraj stands on their chest and pours hot melted iron into their mouths. Liquor. So in this way, life goes on. I guess we'll end here on that happy note. So I hope that you all go out there in this world and cultivate as many people as you can, distribute as many books as you can, and bring them to the temple and distribute flyers and be as strict as you can. And go Premanandi Hari Hari. Also, we're going to print out one lecture that Gurudev gave in Germany, and then somebody can make Xerox copies, called Who Can Offer Bhoga, which tells how a person who doesn't have second initiation, but only first initiation, or no initiation, can offer his food to Krishna. 4:10.
Is there any class tonight, or is it off?
And can everybody please help clean all over the house, because yesterday was such a flurry that now it needs to be all cleaned up. It's not really a house, it's your temple.
Thank you.